with all to change things, to make things right, to keep the truth out there. 516-620-3602, seconds to go. Get the three DVD set, September 11th, the new Pearl Harbor, all three DVDs, 5 hours in length. It's a $150 contribution, and every single DVD you can make multiple copies of to hand out freely. And again, once more, not available anywhere else. I am still looking for my angel out there. I have very few seconds left to go. Call right now, 516-620-3602. Stand up for free speech radio. Stand up for community-sponsored radio, the only place that you're going to be able to hear this kind of content. 516-620-3602. Pledge $150. Get the three DVD set, the new Pearl Harbor. Again, not available anywhere else, only here by calling that number. Or get the Great Lies Dollar a Day Super Pack for a $365 pledge. I've looked and I've seen pledges coming in, and I do see some folks getting the Super Pack, the Great Lies Dollar a Day Super Pack. Thank you so very much. I want to thank Ife on the boards, on our wonderful engineer today. I have to go. I'm Christine Blasdale, 516-620-3602. Stay tuned for more programming coming your way.
You want to have brunch?
What, now?
No, on Sunday.
Okay.
At the Cornelia Street Cafe in Greenwich Village.
Sounds good.
We'll attend a live 2-hour broadcast of the next hour at 11 a.m. featuring Red Diaper Babies.
What, babies on the radio?
They are babies who grew up after years of suffering through the blacklist and still love show business.
Oh, grown-up babies.
Joe Guilford, son of Jack, Josh Mostel, son of Zero, Julie Garfield, daughter of John, and Kate Lardner, daughter of Ring Jr.
Well, what's on the menu?
You can have warm chocolate bread, croissant, huevos rancheros, eggs any style, mimosas, French toast.
A Red Diaper Babies brunch Sunday morning, December 15th at the Cornelia Street Cafe.
We make reservations at give2wbai.org or call 212-209-2950 and ask for Red Diaper Holiday Brunch, all for $100 each.
Oh, is it tax deductible?
Yes, and you can have warm chocolate bread.
I will.
Me too.
The WBAI Community Advisory Board will be holding open meetings at the station's office at 388 Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn every Sunday throughout the month of December. These meetings will begin at 1 p.m. and will include discussions of the latest developments concerning the lease management agreement issue and your idea on programming. The meetings will be on every Sunday in December starting at 1 p.m. Again, WBAI's Community Advisory Board will be holding meetings at 388 Atlantic Avenue at 1 p.m. on each Sunday in December at the WBAI office at 388 Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn starting at 1 p.m. Expect to work and help with the station needs. With your help, we will get through this. All are welcome and invited to come and participate.
And here we are. This is WBAI in New York, broadcasting at 99.5 megahertz FM and streaming at stream.wbai.org, one of the five Pacifica-owned and operated radio stations broadcasting in the public interest. My name is Robert Knight, inviting you to stay tuned for Earthwatch, in which we shall celebrate the life and query the dilemmas of the legacy of the late, great Nelson Mandela. And to help us do that, our very special guest will be Danny Schechter, the news dissector. So please do stay tuned for very special edition tonight of Earthwatch as we look at the legacy of Madiba. Thank you.
The bell for freedom still rings. The bell for freedom still rings. Sorrow to me, but does it ring to know the bell of freedom still rings? The hammer for justice still pounds. The hammer for justice still pounds. Heavy is the beating sound of the hammer for justice that pounds. When the world, stop it, listen. When will we all stop and see? When will we feel what we've been missing? That the man in the moon must have found, 'cause he looks upon us with a frown, to know that millions of babies still starve. Millions of babies still starve. We can't have the biggest heart if millions of babies still starve. And the innocent ones still die. The innocent ones still die. We can't value life too high if the innocent ones still die. When will the world stop and listen? When will we all stop and see? We've been missing, that the man in the moon must have found, 'cause he looks upon us with a frown. Light of truth we won't let shine. Light of truth we won't let shine. Tell me, has the world gone blind? Light of truth we won't let shine. As long as there's life, there's still a day. As long as there's life, there's still a day. And I know that we can find our way. For as long as there's life, there's still a day.
Greetings and welcome once more to a very special edition tonight of Earthwatch. My name is Robert Knight, and you're tuned to WBAI New York 99.5 FM and streaming at stream.wbai.org. And we are tonight maintaining the ability to say that this is a radio station owned and operated by the Pacifica Foundation Radio. And we need your help to keep our transmitter on the air and our program still salient and relevant and contrary to the misperceptions of the mainstream. And to help you do that, we are offering you a very special educational opportunity in the form of a definitive package, both book and film, or DVD, about the life, meaning, and dilemma of the life of the late, great Nelson Mandela. And we are offering you a brand new book that arrives at exactly the right moment, called Mandela, A to Z, by the great journalist Danny Schechter, the news dissector. And we have the book as well as a double DVD about Mandela's Pact on American, for a pledge of $150. Our pledge line, and I hope that you will continue to support this time period of Earth Watch as one of the leaders of the middle of the night, with a call to area code 212-209-2950. Yes, we have our pledge line back. 212-209-2950, and sign up so that we can have more time to talk with our great guest, Danny Schechter, speaking of whom, Danny, welcome once more to Earthwatch.
First of all, Robert, thank you for having me on. Second of all, thank you for being there and still being on. It's a tremendous achievement given the recent problems at WBAI and the difficulties, you know, that many radio stations are having in this climate of shifting media, you know, interests and fads and all the rest of it, and the fact that BAI is still kind of rocking in the free world, so to speak, with information as well as entertainment, I think is a real tribute to the people who have sacrificed so much for so long to try to keep this station going as a flame of freedom, if you will. So, first of all, I wanted to say that. Second of all, I want to give you the correct name of my book, okay? It's called Madiba A to Z, The Many Faces of Nelson Mandela. And Madiba, of course, is the name that South Africans called Mandela. It's his tribal clan name, Madiba. It's a sort of a term of affection, a term of reverence, and of achievement. So, you know, in South Africa, we still have a culture that reveres older people, and Madiba's contributions and involvement in the struggle, you know, went back 67 years, his life 95 years. So people there speak of him with a great affection, and many call him just Tata, which means father. So he has that personal connection with so many people in South Africa, and also so many people here. I just wanted to report to you and to your listeners. I just came back from the Riverside Church, where there was a memorial for Madiba. There's been a memorial in South Africa yesterday, you know, with over 100 heads of state speaking, or droning on in some cases, but nevertheless making statements of solidarity with South Africa. We haven't seen that anywhere in the world. No leader has brought so many people together, with the exception of Mr. Netanyahu of Israel, who couldn't afford the trip, according to him.
Wait a minute, I paid for his ticket.
You know, $3 billion in USA to Israel apparently is not enough for his flight, to cover the cost of his flight. So he wasn't there, but so many other leaders from Africa, Asia, Latin America, you know, and of course, President Obama from the United States were there, and former presidents were there. So, you know, Nelson Mandela, in a way, unified the world. And I don't think any African leader has ever had this level of recognition and praise and tribute and all the rest of it. And we can talk about that. There are some people who say, you know, they wouldn't be praising him if he had really, you know, been a threat to the system, this kind of thing. We should discuss that. But in my book, Madiba A to Z, The Many Faces of Nelson Mandela, published by Seven Stories Press, which is a well-known progressive publisher in New York and in America, the publisher that really was Howard Zinn's one of his major outlets, and Noam Chomsky and other progressive voices, is publishing this book. The book was actually written in June and was out in October, and is finally in the stores now and Amazon, and also distributed in South Africa. And it has a little bit of an interesting history, because I've been in South Africa off and on over the past year, documenting the making of this movie, Mandela Long Walk to Freedom. It's opened in New York and L.A., but not yet nationwide. That happens on Christmas Day. And while I was documenting the film, the producer, Anand Singh, felt, you know, recognized that no movie really can tell the whole story, particularly a story as epic and dramatic as this one. So he asked me to kind of write this book. So he commissioned it, actually. So it's tied to the movie, but he didn't have any editorial input in it. And what it's based on is over 100 interviews, new interviews, that I did with many of Madiba's closest friends, people in the movement there, people in the ANC, and even President de Klerk, and people who were opposed to Madiba, prison guards, people who worked around him, who offer a personal glimpse into his life in a way I don't think we've seen before. You know, I covered South Africa. I was a creator, producer of South Africa Now, the television series that ran for 156 weeks out of New York. And it was on, you know, Channel 31 at first, Channel 13, and many other stations, City College, City University TV, and other outlets carried it as well. And what, you know, so in the course of doing that, we worked with South Africans on the ground to tell their story their way. So we basically facilitated that with the series South Africa Now. What many people in New York don't know is that the program was also seen in 40 countries, but not in South Africa where it was banned. So, you know, I've been covering this story for many, many years, for a long time, and so I was able to draw on my own background as a journalist and as an activist, as well as an interviewer and filmmaker. I've done 6 films with Madiba to be able to tell this story, and I've tried to do it in a different way, a new way. I'm calling it A to Z because I've broken, basically my argument is, you know, when you speak to people about him, they all have a different Mandela in their mind. Some see him as a cuddly grandfather. Some see him as a, military man, you know, who led the revolution. Others see him as a prisoner who somehow survived 27 years in prison. So I try to break it down into almost an alphabet, starting with A for athlete, because he was a boxer, and going through various aspects of his life in a storytelling fashion. So it's like a media snacking. You can read this, you can put it down, you can pick it back up. And I think what you'll get, what I try to aim for, is an exercise that's engaging. It's not a traditional biography. There are traditional biographies, and there's also his autobiography, The Long Walk to Freedom. So his life has been detailed in many ways, but what I try to do is offer a perspective, a point of view, and some facts that people don't know very well. And I think that's why Seven Stories agreed to publish it, and that's why it's been published in South Africa as well, which is, you know, a very cool thing for me to know that people there thought it made a contribution to people's understanding of who this man was, what he stood for, what the contradictions were, what the challenges he faced were. Because even though he's presented, you know, as this heroic icon, you know, one of the best known people in the world, he went through hell, you know, and he also went through a lot of personal hell, you know, breakup of his marriage, the deaths of his kids, isolation, you know, in prison, being able to unify people from different backgrounds and the like. So I don't want to just rant here, but, you know, I think that BAI listeners will particularly find this story fascinating because they know a lot about it, but not everything. And I think, you know, this, it's always like, when I worked at ABC News 2020, we had a saying, you know, we said, like, in a story, you want to have a point where people say, gee, I didn't know that. That's what holds people's interest, they're finding out something new that they didn't know before. And that's what I tried to bring to the writing of this book, The Many Faces of Nelson Mandela, Madiba A to Z. It's been endorsed by Bill Moyers, Charlene Hunter-Galt, Reverend Jesse Jackson, and the leader, one of the leaders of the armed struggle in South Africa, Ronnie Kasrils, has blurbed it as well. So, you know, it's been looked at, it's been vetted by the Mandela Foundation. You know, I mean, I've had to go through a lot of rigorous fact-checking and the like. So I'm very proud of it, and I hope that people will find, basically, that it's a good read. That's what I was aiming for, not so much a definitive encyclopedia of Mandela mania, but, you know, a good read about him that will leave you wanting to know more and also learning more. How's that for a wrap? That took me quite a while. But
well, that's excellent. And one of the things that occurs to me that this book also serves, a purpose it serves, is that of education, particularly for youth who might be the similar leaders of tomorrow, being able to read it in an episodic way with the A to Z setup.
Yeah, one of the essays in the book is actually directed at what in South Africa are called learners. That's what the term they use for students, learners, okay? And I went to a high school outside of Cape Town last year on Mandela's birthday, and the students were celebrating him. You know, and I talked with them, I chatted with them about why they, you know, admired him so much, what was it about him. And a lot of them, you know, saw him as a kind of superhero. You know, it's, their view of him was really filtered through the media. And, you know, this was the man who freed our country, who saved, our future and all the rest of it, but without much specific knowledge of who he was and the choices that he made in the course of his life. You know, he was a lawyer. He could have remained a lawyer, made a lot of money and been happy. You know, he was a nonviolent activist. He could have remained a nonviolent activist, but he turned the movement to an armed struggle when the South African government started massacring people in Sharpeville and other places. So he could have gotten out of prison earlier if he had accepted a number of deals that were, you know, proposed to him. You know, you give up violence and we'll free you. He refused to do it. So he took a very principled stance, and he paid the price of that stance in many cases. And the illness that finally claimed his life, you know, the respiratory problem started with the tuberculosis contracted in prison, you know, where he was in a prison cell, probably the size of the old BAI, I don't know what.
the transmitter room at Empire State Building, but without the heat.
Yeah, but he had no heat. He had no hot water for 10 years. Okay, he slept on the floor. So the man, you know, didn't exactly have a picnic there. It wasn't, you know, wasn't staying in a ritzy hotel like, you know, some big shots in America who go to premium prisons. This was a hellhole, Robben Island, and he and his comrades survived it, and they turned the, you know, at one point, one of the people who ran the prison came up to him and said, Mr. Mandela, can I have my prison back? Because the ANC has sort of taken it over and turned it into what they called Mandela University. They were teaching all of the young people that were coming in there how to read, how to write, how to think. And
Danny, one of the things I recall about Mandela's time at Robben Island is that in his meetings with other leaders of the African National Congress and revolutionaries and armed combatants and people fighting apartheid, is that they were able to communicate significant messages by making what sounded like a mere literary reference in order to give instructions or receive information. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, well, a little bit, yeah. I mean, you know, they had what they called a high organ. This was their decision-making body in the prison. And they had a whole structure there. You know, unlike Occupy, these people were very much into leadership. And, you know, Madiba, he was the leader, basically. But he was a leader that believed in consultation, not in dictation, not in imposing judgments. And so they had a, you know, very participatory process there where people had a say. You know, he wrote his autobiography, Long Walk to Freedom, in prison. And, you know, his colleagues, Ahmed Kathrada, Mac Maharaj, you know, they would, and Walter Sisulu, they would read his drafts, they would criticize them, comment on them, bring them back to him. He would then re-change and rewrite it. Then at the end, Maharaj managed to reduce it into what they called micro-writing. So he took 600 pages and turned it into 60 pages of, you know, tiny little writing on thin paper, and then they cut open their study notebooks and slipped it in there, pasted it in there, and he smuggled it off the island. So this is one of the stories that people don't know the history of all this, and I tell in my book, because I interview the people who were directly involved in this. And you know, it's fascinating, and also the whole history of the armed struggle that you mentioned, armed combatants. I mean, all of us know that the ANC got help from Russia, got help from a lesser degree from China, and maybe East Germany, Sweden. But until now, I think nobody really knows that they were helped by Vietnam. After the defeat of the United States and the Saigon, or what they call the puppet regime in Saigon, the liberation of Vietnam, the Vietnamese, the ANC went to the Vietnamese, and they met with General Giap, who just died, the leader of Ho Chi Minh's army. And they gave them advice, and they apparently restructured the whole ANC armed struggle, because the ANC said, let's go to somebody who's actually been successful in mounting a revolution, and they did. And this has not really been very widely reported at all. So, you know, I have access from people who were on the inside, and also people in the leadership, and also people who were just, you know, combatants who left the country surreptitiously to join the armed struggle, what that was like, how they, you know, felt about it and what have you. So, you know, in that sense, each of these letters of the A to Z tell this story in different ways.
Our guest is Danny Schechter, the news dissector, and not only the producer of South Africa Now, but also the series Rights and Wrongs about human rights around the world. And most significantly and most recently, the author of the book Madiba, A to Z, The Many Faces of Nelson Mandela. And we are offering you that book tonight to support WBAI for a pledge of $150. You get not only the book, but a double DVD set, film that you have documented about Madiba Mandela. Can you tell us what we see in the DVD?
Well, it's a good question because I don't know what you're selling, but I made six films. The first one was made on the very night of his release from prison, and we were the first proof. We did this for PBS out of Channel 13, and we were the first program to have the old South African government in consultation with the ANC. You know, that was totally forbidden in the old days. I mean, a picture of Mandela couldn't even be seen. He could never be interviewed. And so we had all sorts of interesting stuff on the very night of his release. We showed it on that Sunday night, February 11th, 1990. And then I went to Africa, and I caught up with him in Lusaka, Zambia, where he was going to a meeting of the ANC, his first reunion with his comrades, you know, in 30 years. It was incredibly emotional, incredibly intense. And we did an interview with him there for the Phil Donahue show, live out of Lusaka, Zambia. I then traveled with him. I also had my South African Now crew, and we went to Zimbabwe. We traveled with him around Africa. We traveled with him to Sweden, where he reconnected with Oliver Tambo, who was the leader in exile of the ANC. And that was, again, an amazing event. And then I was involved to some degree in the famous Wembley concert, where 90,000 people turned out, all these major rock stars, for a concert that was shown all over the world, but not in the United States, Mr. Knight, not here. Of course, we could never show anything like that. It's far too political for public television or any television to show. But nevertheless, it was a fantastic event, welcoming him, and then it was announced that he was coming to America. And because of our work at South Africa Now, we were the only crew that was allowed on the plane with him and traveled with him to eight cities in 11 days in the United States. We went from New York to Boston, to Washington, to Atlanta, to Miami, to Detroit. God, my memory is good, isn't it? L.A. and Oakland, California. And each of these cities, you know, there were giant rallies and fantastic receptions for him. And he went to the Ford factory. He went to the Oakland you know, Coliseum, which was a fantastic multiracial, multicultural, multivitamin event where he spoke and he singled out support for indigenous people in America. He made a link with Native Americans. So it was a fantastic educational experience for me. And we did the film Mandela in America. And then after that, you know, it's like I got invited to go to South Africa by the ANC to document his race, you know, his election and campaign. And again, I insisted. I said, look, I'm not doing this for the ANC. I need exclusive access to the degree that you can give it to me, and I need you to leave me alone. I don't want to get involved in a lot of political battles back and forth. I want to be able to do this film, and the result of it is a film called Countdown to Freedom, The 10 Days That Changed South Africa. And that was an exciting thing, the first democratic election in South Africa. From there, the year later, I went to Robben Island for a reunion of all the prisoners. So, you know, I've been very involved in this. What a lot of people don't know was that I first went to South Africa, because I've now revealed this, in 1967 as part of the underground, you know, doing a mission there to try to help things along in the 60s. So, you know, I've had a long history with South Africa, and I'm proud of it. I won't say that the outcome is exactly what I had hoped for. I think, and this is the other issue I think you wanted to talk about, is the fact that, yes, South Africa is, quote, free, it has a democratic government, but the economy is still controlled by a handful of corporates and mines and the like, and inequality is very, very deep there. Poverty is very pervasive there. So, yes, it's been a great victory on some levels, but a lot of disappointments on others.
This is Earthwatch. I'm Robert Knight. That's Danny Schechter, and he is the author of the brand new significant book, Madiba, A to Z, The Many Faces of Nelson Mandela, and the producer, director of a double DVD set, Traveling with Mandela Through the United States. Danny, we're talking about Mandela in America, that set in particular. And
it's so exciting to go back and look at that, you know, what happened. And, you know, the whole, his arrival in New York, okay, here's a backstory. I go to a very well-known cable network with three letters in its initials, I won't say what it is, and I say, look, Nelson Mandela is coming, we have the access to him, to accompany him on this tour. It's going to be a phenomenal tour. And they say, listen, don't be naive, Danny. You know, foreign leaders come to New York every day. It's just a bunch of diplomatic, you know, blah, blah, blah. And we're not interested. So, of course, like a million people turned out to see him in various locales, the ticker tape parade. They packed Yankee Stadium. They crowded churches. They, you know, gave him an incredible welcome. And it was David Dinkins who made that possible. And, you know, as they say, you know, if you can do it in New York, you can do it anywhere. And New York set the tone for the national visit of the ANC. And the people in the ANC, including Madiba, was amazed by the response. I mean, they didn't expect anything quite as dramatic as that, you know. In many countries, you go to the airport, you meet the president, and that's the end of it. But here it was an incredible, you know, outpouring of solidarity and support. WBAI was very central to that. BAI was virtually, in those days, Nelson Mandela Radio. I mean, you were presenting all of this information, and our South Africa Now series was as well. And so it's exciting to see what it was like. And also, the way I made this film was I try to put it in the character of every city. So what it was like in Detroit was like the factories and the working class people and their reactions. Miami, the clash with the Cuban community. In Atlanta, the Martin Luther King Center, and where Mandela visits Martin Luther King's grave. And, you know, and he says, you know, nonviolence is a good policy when you can practice nonviolence. You can't always practice it, you know.
Yeah.
So he didn't pull any punches. He laid out his differences as well as his admiration for the civil rights movement.
That's Danny Schechter. This is Earthwatch. I'm Robert Knight. And we're going to pause for a few minutes, Danny, to make sure that people support such a medium as WBAI and, of course, the complimentary work that you do in television and all the way back to radio and probably finger paint as an infant. And we are offering a multiple package of both Danny traveling with Nelson Mandela throughout the United States, face-to-face, close-up insight as to the expression of his impact on we people of this nation, as well as the world, and his book, Madiba, A to Z.
Let me just say, Robert, just one quick thing. This is a season of gift-giving. This is a great gift to share because we want our young people, we want, you know, our families, we want people to know about Madiba. We want them to understand that this is not just a news story happening far away, but it's something that's very relevant to us. And we need to spread the word.
And we want about a dozen people to give a call at this moment so we can proceed to even deeper insights with Danny Schechter. What is it, 3 or 4 decades in the anti-apartheid coverage and issue? And we now need a dozen of you to make a call to pledge to WBAI and receive this infinitely educational package of the book and 2 DVD movies, Danny with Nelson Mandela. And please call this number now, area code 212-209-2950. We are a public radio station, a nonprofit entity that survives solely on the basis of your generosity and support, particularly at fundraising intervals like this. 212-209-2950. The pressures of change and of hypocrisy make this radio station all the more important. And as we get a few calls from you at this moment, we will continue speaking with Danny. And there are some burning questions I want to ask about the contradictions of the Mandela legacy and about the distance, it seems, between the glory of the man and the policies of the party, of the African National Congress, and the inertia of multinational interests in states that are recently characterized as liberated. All of these things. But first, we need you to actually prove that you are of good heart and soul with a call to pledge and support in any amount. You can get the book by itself, maybe, or you can get the DVDs. But I suggest, because this is Earthwatch, you get them both. Three things. The book, a DVD, and another DVD about the inside story of Mandela in America, as well as the book, Madiba A to Z, The Many Faces of Nelson Mandela, just now published by Seven Stories Press by our guest, Danny Schechter, 212-209-2950. This is not a rerun. We got our old number back. And while people are making those calls, Danny, I do want people to understand the significance of your work and the insight that you bring to the euphoria. And let's just begin with this. How does one choose between the power of a personality and the truculence, the stubbornness of policy that is designed globally and economically to maintain an unfair 1% corporate military dominance of resources?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think there are a couple of points here. You know, first of all, you know, Mandela made clear in any number of interviews and any number of times that he was believed in collective leadership. He didn't see himself as a savior. He didn't see himself, you know, as Jesus Christ come back to earth. He saw himself as a servant, as a humble servant of the people. I'm sure he was also vain at points and, you know, liked the attention and what have you. But he didn't seek it out. It was the ANC that and the anti-apartheid movement that decided that to mobilize people to try to free political prisoners. They needed one face for that struggle because it was too complicated to feature all people with, you know, different names and everything else. So it became Free Nelson Mandela. Of course, that was the song by the Special AKA. It was the image in our... I also worked on Sun City, Artists Against Apartheid, and we featured Nelson Mandela as well. So the idea was to build a campaign around him. He himself was uncomfortable with that initially. And you can see in this movie, Mandela Long Walk to Freedom, his daughter comes and shows him in prison, you know, a badge. Look, Tata, here's a badge. Free Nelson Mandela. And he says, well, what about Sisulu? What about the other guys, you know? He was shocked by that, but that was a decision that was made, kind of marketing decision, that in order to mobilize and galvanize support. Also, I mean, here's a guy who basically brought people together across racial lines, class lines, ideological lines. You know, it was something that everybody could agree with. You know, in the left, as you know very well, Robert, you know, the specialty seems to be figuring out ways to disagree with each other. You know, to argue fine points of theory, fine points of, you know, analysis, to prove who's right, who's politically correct, whatever. And as a consequence, rather than unify people, we often actually do the opposite. And I think, you know, the ANC's campaign around Mandela's release and Mandela's involvement really it shows that it is possible to reach people who, because of their own fears, because of their own hatred or whatever, you know, are going to be absolutely opposed to change. And yet they can be won over. And, you know, in the end, you know, where other politicians around the world, including our own president, lost public support and respect, this man gained public support and respect. Even as he got older and out of politics and retired, he still became, you know, an icon and a model, role model for people. So that's one particular point that needs to be stressed, that they were able to build these alliances, which made it possible for them to actually, you know, hold an election and win that election. Okay, and that's, you know, an achievement that certainly progressives in this country have yet to point to, you know, except in isolated race here or there. So there is stuff we could learn from the ANC's track record. Now, at the same time, the ANC was faced, and this is one of the things I go into in my book, what happened in the negotiations about the economy? Where were those negotiations? And I reveal in this book that there were top secret economic negotiations where the World Bank and a bunch of corporates and consultants, you know, basically created a situation where the ANC had no choice, really, but to opt for a neoliberal kind of economic policy. And as a result of that, a lot of what they wanted to do in terms of fighting poverty had to be put on hold. And they were under a tremendous amount of pressure from, you know, the world community, and not only capitalist forces, but also, you know, China and Vietnam and others advised them, don't go heavy on nationalization, or you're going to turn all the support that you've won off. They're going to turn against you. The media is going to turn against you, et cetera, and so forth. So they were facing this dilemma. And as you read in my book, there was a lot of debate about it internally in the ANC. And now there's more and more people speaking out about it, saying, look, this was a big mistake to go in this direction. Where that'll take them, I don't know. I can't say, but I'm saying that these issues are we're really aware of it. Right now, there's a new political party, youth-oriented political party, called the Economic Freedom Fighters in South Africa. They wear red berets. They, you know, admire Hugo Chavez, who, of course, isn't with us anymore. But so there is a lot of ideological splits. The ANC always managed to be like a big church movement, bring together labor, you know, the unions, the community groups, and all the rest of it. Now there are a lot of fissures in that support base and a lot of debate going on, some of it very nasty, and also a lot of corruption, which has also soured many people on the ANC.
This is Earthwatch. That's Danny Schechter. And we're taking your calls at our newly reconstituted pledge number, area code 212-209-2950, where you can obtain Danny's revealing new book about Nelson Mandela called Madiba, A to Z, The Many Faces of Nelson Mandela, as well as his uniquely insightful films about Mandela's travels through the United States in 1990, just leading up to his election as president and throughout his career. 212-209-2950. We need a few more of you to call to get up to those dozen pledges at this time. 212-209-2950. Danny, you speak about the path of nationalization, the path of the financial banking investor interests and such. And there are several different ways that one can look at this. One can look at the Mandela South Africa model. One can look at the Mugabe model. One can look at the Obama model, just to name three black presidents.
Right. I mean, I'm not happy with the outcome in South Africa. In fact, I'm, you know, kind of exposing it in this book. Even as, you know, but even the head of the Reconstruction and Development Plan, Jay Naidu, former head of the COSATU, the Congress of South African Trade Unions, one of the most militant activists in the anti-apartheid movement, you know, basically told me, so I said, do you blame Mandela for this? And he said, no, I blame myself. I blame us, our generation. We're the ones that didn't stand firm on these issues. And he goes into discussing what actually happened in these meetings and in these debates. It's not, you know, it's also a story of, think about it this way, you know, you're used to, you know, working at WBAI wages.
Well, if they double them, I'd still be making zero right now.
Whatever they are, but You know, it's not exactly the 1% material, right? And, you know, here were all these people, thousands of soldiers who were in this armed struggle. They were based in Angola. They were based in Zambia. They were based in Mozambique. And now they come back home to South Africa. And, you know, they don't have a pot to piss in, okay? And now they're victorious, but they don't have a house. They don't have a place, you know, families. In South Africa, it's really like extended families, okay? So it's the cousins, it's this and that. And so, you know, there was a lot of co-optation, you know, of offering people deals and this and that and the other thing. And a lot of them succumbed to that because they were desperate. They had to live. They didn't have real salaries, retirement benefits from the armed struggle. Later, they actually did get this parity with the South African army so that they did get some sort of retirement benefits. But initially, they didn't have anything. So you had this whole group coming back, you know, tasting victory in their mouths, but not being able to feed themselves in some cases. So there were a lot of, you know, difficulties here. This wasn't a revolution that where people marched in and took over Havana, you know, like the Cuban Revolution. An army comes down from the mountains and takes over, you know, the towns. This was, you know, a case of a negotiated settlement, a brilliant settlement on some levels, but an incomplete settlement on others. And as a consequence, it's easy to sit around, you know, in New York and take whacks at all of this and say they sold out and this and that, but without appreciating what they were dealing with. And, you know, none of these top leaders who had been in prison for all these years were exactly, you know, well-trained Marxist economists. They had slogans. They had the Freedom Charter from 1955, which called for, you know, South Africa belongs to all of its people, you know, kind of an implied policy of nationalization, which wasn't spelled out in any way. Ironically, the Afrikaners had nationalized a lot of the economy and stolen a lot of money. They were much more corrupt than the ANC in many ways. It's never reported. And I talk about that in my book as well. So you have a lot of dilemmas here and problems where it wasn't a communist revolution, you know, in fact, the communists were often the people who were laying out compromise strategies to prevent the right wing, the ultra right wing, from, you know, doing a Pinochet, you know, on the ANC and rounding everybody up and killing them. That's what they were worried about. A right-wing, racist, revanchist counter-revolution. And they managed to neutralize that at great cost, you know, but deals had to be cut. And this is the problem. When you get into, just like any negotiation, when you get into making deals, you're not always happy with the outcome because it's a compromise, not a victory necessarily of your position. And even though you can say, well, you know, they were the majority and they should blah, 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 they didn't necessarily have the leverage, okay? They didn't have the guns. They didn't have the way to defend themselves from a counterattack. And, you know, I'm not saying all this to say that the outcome was the best possible outcome. How can I judge that? I wasn't there, and I don't think anybody who's making these arguments was there. So I think we have to sort of look at this and understand what went down, and in some cases, mistakes were made, really serious mistakes, in my opinion. But you can only know that years later. You always don't know that when it's happening, okay?
This is one of the great gifts of having someone in our world like Danny Schechter and a radio station like WBAI to have more insight than adulation, although with great respect and love for Nelson Mandela, but to look at the longer-term benefit of the majority population, whether that be through the 0.001% here in the United States or the multinational system or South Africa or anywhere else in the world.
You know, when I first got involved in the anti-apartheid movement, South Africa and Brazil were in contention for which country was the most unequal in the world, okay? South Africa, I think, won that comparison for many years because, you know, there was such a gap between white society, particularly a business elite, and you know, the masses of workers and unemployed people living in the townships, living in the rural areas, and many of the migratory workers coming to work in the mines. You know, these were classically oppressed people, colonized people, you know, dominated by a ruthless military force, carrying passes that told them where they can go, where they couldn't go, not able to organize unions, not able to fight back. If they did, they would be shot down. So, you know, South Africa was always this model. And today we're seeing in America, increasingly militarized police, increasingly hostile to union organizing, and a triumphant Wall Street that's been able to siphon off trillions of dollars, okay, and is destroying cities like Detroit, destroying retirement benefits, and all the rest of it. So a lot of, you know, we've been South Africanized in the worst sense, in terms of, you know, a kind of mostly white, elite dominating things. And you know, I think we can learn some lessons here from South Africa. That doesn't mean that nothing is exactly the same. Okay, one of the big problems I always had with the South Africa issue, dealing with, you know, once I learned more about it, I'm trying to explain it in America because everybody here sort of compared it to the civil rights movement. You know, the civil rights movement, they had bus boycotts, we had bus boycotts. They, you know, had protests, we had protests. They had massacres, we had massacres. You know, there was a tendency to simplify all of this without people realizing that we were fighting in many cases so that the rights guaranteed in a constitution would apply to all citizens equally or fairly or what have you. There, they had no constitution. They had no rights, period, okay? So it was a very different, culture and situation. We can't make simplistic parallels. We have to look at each country in terms of its history and its people and what have you. And that's also, when you do that, it's fascinating because you learn so much.
We are learning very much tonight in this extraordinary conversation with Danny Schechter, the author of Madiba A to Z, Many Faces of Nelson Mandela. And Danny, people have been calling our pledge line at area code 212-209-2950. We need maybe half a dozen more to call at this time before we can continue with any more conversation and perhaps some audio from Madiba's visit to the United States. 212-209-2950. Among those who are not anonymous or who don't want their names announced, we are happy to receive a pledge of $150 for the book, Madiba A to Z, and the double DVD set of Mandela in America, both written, produced, all three written and produced by Danny Schechter.
Am I supposed to say that I will come to your house and personally autograph it? I don't have to do that, right?
Oh, the gift that you give is the ability to alphabetically absorb the brilliance of the life of Nelson Mandela, Mandela A to Z, Madiba A to Z, about Mandela.
You should have seen the crowd tonight at Riverside Church. I mean, you know, he's been a kind of a symbolic organizing symbol for people, particularly in the African American community. I remember the Mandela's visit to Harlem and 125th Street.
And I was there.
The number of people who turned out for that and the incredible impact it had on people. Winnie Mandela speaking right after Betty Shabazz introducing him. You know, there's a history here, a heritage in history and cultural connection that really helped, I think, transform the African-American community and politicize it and help people understand things better. I mean, certainly even Obama says this is what led him into politics, starting with the anti-apartheid movement. So I don't know if he learned enough from it, but nevertheless,
well,
certainly influenced.
You know, there's a question at a funeral whether one is a selfie or an elfie. 212-209-2950 is the number. And this is Danny Schechter. I'm Robert Knight. And we also want to thank another pledger. I don't know if I should or should not say their name. But they live on Malcolm X Boulevard. 212-209-2950. $150, double DVD set, and the book, Madiba A to Z by Danny Schechter. And tell us more about the experience of reading it.
I just wanted to mention we have a website, MadibaBook.com. MadibaBook.com. So you can see the book. There's a selection from the book in there. There's some of the press about the book there. So you can get more information if you want to find out more about it. So it's something that I think you'd find interesting because this is a book that we hope will deepen people's understanding of Mandela's contribution, and also without leaving out the contradictions and the flaws that he himself confessed to. You know, he was very self-critical in many instances, and he, you know, particularly about his treatment of women as a young man and how he changed. And that's why in South Africa they always talk about, you know, we're building a non-racist, a non-racial, non-sexist South Africa. And so I just read an article about him calling him a feminist. You know, I don't know if he was a feminist, but he certainly became very supportive of women's rights. There were many women who worked with him and for him. And, you know, he is a person that evolved and changed over time. He told one biographer, he said, well, I matured in prison. So, you know, he's somebody who, as a young man, was considered, you know, a volatile hothead, you know, given to sloganizing, given to agitation and whatnot. And he became much more thoughtful in what he had to say and the way he thought about issues. He was also, you know, a lawyer. And lawyers are trained to, you know, take notes and make detailed points and cross-examine people and all the rest of it. So he was very good at that, too.
This is WBAI Earthwatch. I'm Robert Knight. That's Danny Schechter, 212-209-2950. Join those. Help us get to a very nice goal for tonight, And for $150, pledge for the book, Madiba A to Z, The Many Faces of Nelson Mandela, and the double DVD set of Mandela in America and his impact on this part and the rest of the world. 212-209-2950. Our operators are, as they say, standing by. And as we get a few more calls for the book and the film that you, films that you have made, here comes the Barbara Walters type question. What was it like being in the presence of Nelson Mandela?
Well, you know, first of all, it's you know, he was such a larger-than-life figure. So, of course, you know, you literally looked up to him because he was 6'3". Okay, so, you know, he had a stature, and, of course, people treated him with a certain special, you know, in a special way. So he was very much looked up to and all the rest of it. On the other hand, he had a great sense of humor that I experienced on a number of occasions. One, I was in New York. He was coming to visit, and there was a brunch. And David Rockefeller was hosting it, okay, in the Rainbow Room at 30 Rockefeller Center. And it was filled with business people. And, you know, of course, as they say, as Willie Sutton once said when he was asked, why do you rob banks? He said, that's where the money is, you know?
So yeah, I remember that.
So they were raising money or whatever, and there was this big brunch, and Mandela was the featured guest. And I was there with my crew, and we were covering the event, and in comes the New York City Police and the, I don't know if it was the Secret Service or the State Department Service or whatever, coming in with him. And, you know, you remark on the fact that he was a guy who was surrounded by guards in prison. Now he's surrounded by bodyguards now that he's, quote, free. Okay, and so he comes into the room, his whole entourage sweeps into the room, and he starts... I was in the middle of the room, and, you know, the dais was up front. But instead of walking to the dais, he walked into the middle of the room. I see him coming to me, okay? And, you know, I'm saying, like, what's going on, you know? And then he looks at me, he says, remember me? And that was totally disarming. You know, obviously, I said, I think so. You know, so he had a sense of humor. He would recognize people who he had met before. He had a very keen sense for people's names. And you know, he was Ted Kennedy. He's like, Ted, how are you, Ted? You know, he would do a first name thing with people that was, like, mind-blowing. And one of his assistants told me, you know, they had a little problem with him because he kept calling the Queen of England Liz, okay? You know, Queen Elizabeth, you know, and you know, they said, well, don't do that in public, okay? You're not supposed to do that. Oh, no, Liz likes it when I call her Liz, you know? So, you know, he has, a charm to him and a kind of turn on things. I asked him once, you know, okay, we're in the election, you know, it's like, who are you going to vote for? and he says to me, I haven't made up my mind yet, okay? So, you know, those are just a little few moments, not particularly fraught with the kind of significance that WBAI listeners look for, but is of interest, you know?
212-209-2950. We need only about four or five more of you to join us.
By the way,
us.
If people want to read any of my other work on this Mandela thing, I had to lead the piece on aljazeera.com on their op-ed page, right as he was dying. And I also have a piece coming out on TruthDig, the website that is pretty well known for political analysis about New York Times coverage of Mandela's views on the economy. And I just finished that, and they've accepted it, and they're going to be posting it. So that might be of interest to people.
All right. This is Earthwatch. That is Danny Schechter. And we're waiting for a few more phone calls to get his book Madiba, A to Z. What are your favorite letters in that book? 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. Four more people to call now, and maybe we'll even hear some Mandela.
People, you know, seem to like the athlete section because about him as a boxer and how it frustrated, you know, somebody in the ANC, one of the top diplomats in the ANC, this woman, Carolus, asks him, says, you know, boxing is barbaric. How can you support boxing? You know, two men beating each other about the head, you know? And he went into a snit fit with her about boxing was really important and defended boxing, and all these boxers loved him and used to come to his events and visit with him. When we were at the Tribeca Grill during his visit, I was with Artists United Against Apartheid, little Stephen Van Zandt. Eddie Murphy was there, and Robert De Niro was there, and so was Jersey Joe Walcott, okay? And Mandela, when he saw him, said, come up here, stand with me, you know? Being an athlete was really important to his survival because he had so much physical discipline. You know, he worked out all the time. He drove his comrades crazy by running around the cell that they at one point shared together. You know, pushing them to be more physically active and take care of themselves. And I think that his early days as a boxer really led to his survival, you know, his ability to live to age 95, which is no mean achievement in itself.
Danny Schechter, Madiba A to Z. Phone number for the book and or the DVDs is area code 212-209-2950. This is WBAI in New York, and we are also streaming live at stream.wbai.org. And my name is Robert Knight. And Danny, you have been a waterfall of analysis and insight.
A waterfall.
And
a little bit of that waterfall just today fell on the keys of my computer, completely short-circuiting it. I got to take it into the shop. It's going to cost me a fortune to fix. I have to rent a new one. So don't talk to me about water, okay? But say this. I can't keep going too long if you hear my voice and my coughing.
Here I offer you the valedictory of your work with Mandela. Wrap it up for us.
Okay. Look, BAI people, you know his importance. You understand how central this struggle was in the United States in terms of building a progressive movement, and why the anti-apartheid, the pro-liberation politics of that era was very, very important, and he became a symbol of all of that. I need your help to get this book out, to help promote it, to get on other media outlets, to try to talk about these issues. You know, the mainstream media has been filled with, all the Mandela all the time kind of, you know, Bono's interview and interviews with celebrities. They're giving him the Madonna treatment. We have to rescue him from that and try to take more seriously his politics and the history of this struggle and the issues that South Africa is facing. And that's what I'm trying to do by talking about this. You know, I must say, the other night I was on Al Jazeera until I was canceled from Al Jazeera, okay? I was on BBC World until I was canceled from BBC World. I was on Democracy Now! Thank you, Amy and Juan, and also on MSNBC. So I have, had some media exposure, but, if you're not a movie star, it's very hard to get that. So, I've been part of this movie, Mandela Long Walk to Freedom. I really urge you to see it. I hope you'll enjoy this book. I'd love to get your feedback. If you do read it and want to get in touch with me, it's dissector@mediachannel.org. I blog at newsdissector.net. I edit mediachannel.org. And, of course, the book website is MadibaBook.com. So, I'm reaching out, and I'm up here late at night, even though I'm not feeling well, because, I believe in BAI's mission. I believe that BAI has something to say. I myself do a show tomorrow at 5 on the progressive radio network, PRN.FM. We're going to be talking more about the anti-apartheid movement tomorrow at 5 p.m. if anybody wants to tune in there. So thank you, Robert Knight, for having me on. Thank you for offering this book as a premium. Thank you for all the work you've done over the years, and I have great respect for you, and although I came out of a commercial radio rock and roll station in Boston, so it wasn't quite, let's say, as populist as WBAI. Okay, I was the news dissector, and I was doing progressive takes on the news every single night. So I know the power and the importance of radio. The station I work for, WBCN, has been killed off, okay, by CBS Radio. It no longer exists after 40 years. The fact that BAI does exist is something that, you know, we should take seriously and try to save this station and help it survive. And I'll certainly do whatever I can to be helpful. Anytime I'm asked, I will go on BAI. But, you know, I have to tell you, it's frustrating because I get invited on radio stations all across America. I get invited on RT, on Press TV, on BBC, on Al Jazeera. And, you know, you're the first person from BAI that's called me and had me on. And it was a disappointment that I hadn't heard from BAI. Now that I have, maybe I can go on some more programs. Thank you, Robert Knight. Thank you, audience, for putting up with me. I know I've been raving, and I know that I'm losing my voice. So good night.
When it comes to media that matters, I always think of you, Danny, the news dissector. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Cheers.
All right. This is Earthwatch on WBAI New York. What more could I say than what Danny did about the importance of WBAI and the education available to you by pledging for either the book or the DVDs? But I recommend the full package for a pledge tax deductible of $150. Please give us a call now at area code 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. Was that not a walk through history? And exactly as Danny says, this is a critical moment for this radio station, and your support is needed. Give us a pledge, 212-209-2950. As one South African trade union leader once said at the Riverside Church, never has there been a moment like this.
Brothers, it is fascinating, it is historic, it is symbolic that this son of Africa comes at this moment to remind us of the unfinished business of ending apartheid in South Africa and racism in America.
That is Ron Dellum speaking at the Oakland Coliseum. We need just three more of you to get the $150 book and double DVD package. Please make those calls now while we sample some of the sound of Mandela in America. And once again, thank you, Danny Schechter. This is Earthwatch. I'm Robert Knight in New York. 212-209-2950. Please accelerate your calls. 212-209-2950.
Principle, unwavering courage, no fear. Let us welcome a man that makes us all feel somewhat taller, a hell of a lot stronger, and a whole lot more proud. Bay Area, let us welcome Nelson Mandela!
Comrades and friends, on my release from jail last February the 11th, we walked out of the prison gates to a tumultuous and joyous welcome. Our people, in their multitudes, had come from all corners of South Africa to receive us back into a world of struggle. The heaven rang with their chants of joy. 10 days ago, my delegation, my wife and I stepped on the soil of this United States. Once more, we were received with overwhelming attributes of friendship and solidarity. This experience has been repeated in every city we have visited. We have witnessed support for the fight against apartheid and for human liberty and peace in South Africa. It is clear, beyond any reasonable doubt, that the unbanning of our organization came as a result of the pressures exerted upon the apartheid regime by yourselves. By yourselves as part of the international community. And by the determined actions of our struggling people, you have inspired us beyond imagination. On behalf of the African National Congress and its entire membership, we thank you for your solidarity. It is a great honor for us because, in fact, it is a tribute to the fighting spirit of our people. We say it is a tribute to the fighting spirit of our people, who are also your people. We know that this rally was made possible by the unity in action of all sectors of this community. Today in South Africa, the same spirit has begun to break down the walls of apartheid. There are many obstacles ahead of us, both overt and covert. Many apartheid laws are still on the statute book. The freedom to conduct a political organization is still threatened by the state and right-wing vigilantes. Our schools are still segregated and inferior. Medical services are inadequate. Unemployment is high, housing is scarce, and the masses of our people are still without land. It is our responsibility as the National Liberation Movement to take action for change. Our movement is now expected, after 3 decades of illegality, to operate efficiently. The task ahead is daunting, but our resolve is strong. In addition, our people are determined to fight for liberty until victory is achieved. The people's campaigns, carried out with amazing courage and great sacrifice, have pushed the government to concede the legal space for a widened political participation. We are at a crucial historical juncture. We cannot turn back. We shall not turn back. We need your support for this final stage. Now, more than ever, we call on you to redouble your efforts. We have spoken elsewhere of the inspired actions of great Americans, such as Martin Luther King Jr. Malcolm X, Fannie Lou Hamer, John Brown, and many others. Together, we must rekindle the spirit of strength and beauty and dispatch racism once and for all from human society. We are committed to the establishment of a united, non-racial, non-sexist, Democratic South Africa. We demand one person, one vote on a common non-racial voter's roll. Our people demand democracy. Our country, which continues to bleed and suffer pain, needs democracy. Our country stands on the threshold of fundamental change, but we still have a long road to travel before reaching our destination, freedom. As long as apartheid is in place, we appeal to you to maintain sanctions. That is a certain way to reach our objective. We must keep the pressure on apartheid until victory is achieved. We salute the state of California for having such a powerful principled stance on divestment. We salute members of the International Longshoremen and Warehousemen Union, Local 10. Who refused to unload a South African cargo ship in 1984. In response to this demonstration, other workers, church people, community activists, and educators gathered each day at the docks to express their solidarity with the dock workers. They established themselves as the front line of the anti-apartheid movement in the Bay Area. And they laid the basis for the Bay Area Free South Africa movement. This movement has performed meritoriously in our support. And we were grieved to learn of the death of John George, the chairperson of the Bay Area Free South Africa movement. BAFSAM also acted in concert with the University of California, Berkeley Students Action for Divestment by marching onto campus in solidarity with the students. Finally, the Regents of the University of California voted to divest. We also note that throughout, BAFSAM has emphasized the demand for our freedom and that of all South African political prisoners. We celebrate with you the imminent birth of a new South Africa in which all shall be equal, irrespective of race, color, gender, or creed. We bring you greetings from Comrade Oliver Tambo, our president. I must add that since my arrival in this country, I have received several letters from organizations and individuals from the first American nation, the American Indians. In addition to these letters, I have received valuable, if not priceless, gifts from them. Just this morning, I received a number of gowns from them. They had wanted to rob me at the airport, but unfortunately, our convoy left the airport before arrangements could be made for them to perform the ceremony. When the robes came and their letter, I was already here. I then request that the mayor to allow me to meet this delegation, which is led by Mr. or Ms. Cooper. Unfortunately, we were unable to contact them despite the diligent inquiry by the mayor. These letters which I have received describes the conditions of the American Indians here. And I can assure you that they have left me very disturbed. If I had the time, I would have visited their areas, spoken to their leaders and their organizations, and got from them an authoritative picture of the difficulties under which they live. But unfortunately, my schedule is very tight, and I cannot carry out this wish. But I can assure the leaders of the Indian community that I will return in October.
The late, great Madiba Nelson Mandela, speaking in June 1990 at a capacity-filled stadium, the Oakland Coliseum, as part of his American tour following his release from Robben Island and 27 years of imprisonment and the lung infection that would lead to his death just a few days ago and his burial this week. We are celebrating his life with the possibility of your supporting WBAI with a pledge at our number 212-209-2950 to get the book and double DVD by Danny Schechter, Madiba A to Z, The Long Journey of Nelson Mandela, as well as his film, Close Up, of Madiba's visit to the United States. And Mandela was speaking about divestment, and that brings back memory to me, the mid-1980s, I was news director, and it was at one of the rallies on divestment at Columbia University where the idea of divestment, of Coca-Cola's support for apartheid at that time, was the source of the entire quadrangle being filled by people of goodwill. And there I wandered, as that guy at MSNBC, I wandered amongst them. Obama came amongst us and gave me an interview. And I did that with a stereo recorder, Jim Freund. And that was the introduction of Stereo News Actualities here at WBAI, the newscast that I invented the conclusion right up until we no longer have a news department. And that's some of the news. It was a counterpoint to what Cronkite would say at the end of his newscast. So this is WBAI. It is tinged with history and justice, and I hope you'll support it with continuing calls, not only for Earthwatch, but throughout the rest of the night and day. 212-209-2950. Ask them about the Madiba A to Z package. It's a fabulous book. And thank you, Danny Schechter, for your time. And I'm going to ease on out of here. Welcome your emails, rknight, R-K-N-I-G-H-T, at WBAI.org. And Jim, you have the con, and I leave it to you for your acoustically artistic transition. I'm Robert Knight, rknight at WBAI.org. Stay tuned for Hour of the Wolf with Jim Freund coming up next.
It is you,
And Earth Night, Earth Watch with Robert Knight. Earth Night with Robert Watch was brought to you live with portions on recording. I want to mention that Robert, who, by the way, has been so gracious in giving me airtime on important state occasions like the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who, screwed up my Thanksgiving show because I was all set to play a mix of certain things only to discover that you're like the Farsine Theater on the Indians and all that. And it's like, I'm all set to start out with that, and you just played it. Tell me about it. Mine doesn't roll. It just sort of like, you know, squats there. So you were playing all this fabulous stuff, which was exactly what I was going to do, making me change course. Thank you for that, because that's live radio. That's Freeform Radio is the... That's the name of the pieces. Temporarily Humbled Country. One of the great lessons in American history, as brought to you by the Firesign Theater, Pacifica Radios. Firesign. Two from K, one from A, and one from I, or at least formerly of I. David Osman worked here as, like, in the music department at some point, and basically went out west to be with the rest of the Firesign Theater. So most of their programs came out of KPFA. No, KKK. Los Angeles. I'm not going near that. Hailing on Pacifica. Pacifica, WBAI. Now, we're going to do a soft pitch, and then I'm going to start my theme music. But, you know, how many stations are turning over their airtime to Mandela as anything more than a tip of the hat and something that they think will, I don't know. That's well put. And, you know, here at WBAI, people like him is why Pacifica was made and represented the open-minded kind of thinking, fierce and calm at the same time, which is what I admired about him. And Robert knows Pacifica and WBAI history, as do I. We're both sort of historians of the station. And February 11th, 1977 was a horrible, horrible day in which one of our many battles with our owners got so far that we were taken off the air for 6 weeks. The local board voted to... we were going off, and then we would come from another location and another location, and finally a showdown in the Empire State Building at the transmitter, where it took them another 90 minutes to shut them down, where Abe Aig, our news director, was saying, right now the news is not in Afghanistan, the news is not in Vietnam, the news is here right now. And that was a momentous day. Five people were arrested at the Empire State Building: Bob Fass, Margot Adler, Abe Aig, Steve Rosen, he was a tech guy who was around for years and later got jailed for some very nasty stuff, which didn't surprise me a tiny bit. And Mike Edel. Good guy, Mike Edel. Now with Texas. And February 11th was, for some of us, he said, beating his chest. Can you all see on the radio that I'm beating my chest? A day in which we said, WBAI staff, you know, we rock. We own this. But it was also a dismal day, because really the beginning of the wars. It was also a very painful way of forcing the station to become multicultural in a way that really had not been. And sometimes you learn through pain, and that was part of it. But we also haven't fully recovered from it yet. And so February 11th was a date that would live in infamy. And there was a 10-year anniversary party for that event at Margot Adler's house. And there were maybe 50 or 60 people, she is quite the living room, from BAI. And on February 11th, 1987, I think, 10th year anniversary, I think it was 10th, it comes the news where we're all sitting there and we are told Nelson Mandela has been released from jail.
And thus the circle...
And all of us were gathered in this room and there was utter silence. And then one person, I think it was actually Larry Josephson, said, well, at least February 11th now has become one of the most positive days in history for us instead of one of the most negative days in history. I'm sure somebody can look up and find out what day he was released from jail, but it was a February 11th. And so in the name of the revolution and spirit of WBAI and the freedom of Nelson Mandela and the freedom that he gave so many people... I was going to do a soft pitch, and I started sounding like it's you, Robert. It's your shoe thumping ability to preach. because it's so infectious. It's so that energy just sort of rolls off. So I don't know everything about Danny's pitch. What we don't have paper on it here. What is the premium? Called, what does it cost?
Mandela A to Z. Madiba.
Madiba, thank you. Madiba A to Z. And what? It doesn't cost anything. If you give us a gift, we will give you a gift. Thank
book
you.
Book and a half for two DVDs and the book. You might can get the book by itself.
$150?
Buck and a half, yeah.
Buck and a half. Yeah, yeah, there's no decimal point in that buck and a half. It's $150. tax? No, is it tax? Yeah, it should be. Yeah, yeah. Well, sometimes we have to take off what when there's a book. Madiba A to Z, The Many Faces of Nelson Mandela. When BAI in the 70s was in its high point, Danny Schechter was doing similar radio in Boston on a commercial station.
BCN.
And he was Danny Schechter News Dissector. And he was doing a lot of baseball. I actually did a baseball show, and he and I were trading tapes. I've still never met the man. He is a great, wonderful journalist, and he's written a couple of books now and made a couple of documentaries. And here he has emerged with this book that just came out like last week.
A double DVD documentary up close with Nelson Mandela and his tour of the United States.
For $150. So if you donate $150 to WBAI, we will donate this DVD, this two DVD set, and the book back to you. So thank you, Danny Schechter. I hope one of these years to meet you because I've always been a fan. And this book has, sadly come along at exactly the right time.
It's sufficiently complex, even though it's laid out simply like the alphabet, but it's sufficiently deep and thoughtful and analytic as to engage.
I haven't read it, so you like the book. You liked it. Mm-hmm. I take it you liked it. Okay, that should be enough for listeners. So give a phone call now, 212-209-2950. We have a wonderful guest, and I want to get to my wonderful guest. So make that call, and we're not going to ever interrupt that guest because we have Kiini Burasalam. I've been saying Burusalam off the air, and it's like, why am I doing that? And she says it's because of Uhuru, and I really hope that's not what's resting in my poor addled little brain. She is a wonderful writer. This is her second time on Hour of the Wolf. So let's get Hour of the Wolf started and move on. But to do that, we need listener support. If this station is going to survive, if we are going to show Pacifica that we are self-sufficient and worth our own self-governance, then we need, yeah, right, Robert, I see that face. Everybody in the radio audience sees that face. We need you to be among us and prove that the concept of listener sponsorship works. 209-2950, area code 212-209-2950. So now I'm going to move over to the computer, which is why I'm going off mic. Please forgive me, and begin the theme music. By the way, if you are listening in the future, which means you're listening to the archive cast, there's nothing stopping you from calling and pledging and getting Madiba A to Z, The Many Faces of Nelson Mandela by Danny Schechter. You can also, by the way, become a BAI buddy. $10 a month. $10 a month is what we're asking for that. And for that, you will get one thumb drive with some amazing, amazing speeches and documents from WBAI's history, which I was very dismayed that there was no Julius Lester on there, by the way. One of my favorite problem makers here at WBAI, because he made good problems. Anyway, that was the pitch, and now we're actually going to begin the show.